There's no question that, you know, policing and jails and prisons play a very critical role in trying to maintain control and regulation and reproduce inequality and so on. But in the book, I argue that there's a broader way of trying to understand what the carceral state is. And by carceral, I'm referring to the institutions that are engaged in the work of social control. So if you go back through the long history of the United States, you find that educators, public health officials, social workers, government officials, politicians have also been engaged in all kinds of institutions that I would refer to as carceral. So let me give you maybe a few examples of that to make that argument. So, for example, during World War One, when American troops had a high incidence of venereal disease, public health authorities and federal authorities rounded up some 30,000 women and put them in institutions that were prison-like. They were basically contained and not allowed to leave. The men, meanwhile, who were in the army camps were given education and were given health care and were given treatment. And the women were rounded up without trial, without due process, without any kind of investigation of whether crimes had been committed. And they were basically then criminalized for engaging in sexual activity. Or take, for example, in the period after World War II, when there was a crackdown on gay men in government positions, there you had people losing jobs, not being allowed to take jobs. This happened to thousands and thousands of gay men throughout the country. There was a survey, for example, done in the late 50s, early 60s, that reported that one out of three gay men had said that they'd been harassed or beaten or jailed by the police on the basis of their sexuality, which is somewhat comparable to what young black men report today about their activities with policing and so on.